This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
White lightning while I'm still in the crib. The moon pie smeared all over my bib. Punched my first grade teacher right straight in the mouth. 'Cause that's how we do it in the dirty South. Tattoo here on my back. Yeah, my ears are still ringing from the NASCAR track. Yeah, I punched Jeff Gordon right straight in the mouth. Yeah, 'cause that's how we do it in the dirty South.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you worldwide in crystal clear high definition audio to every corner of the globe, all the ships at sea. From beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. How you doing, folks? Phil here, joining you as I do every week, broadcasting about music, about my life, the triumphs and the struggle of being a musician in this day and age where there's so much uncertainty in the musical world. And, you know, it's tough out there making a living. Not just in music, anywhere. I get emails from you every week complaining also to me, commiserating with me about your difficulties. You know, work, music, family, taxes, paying that health insurance, etc., etc. So here we are this week, a gathering of the tribe every week on the P2 Podcast, seeking to enlighten ourselves with a little discussion, some ideas at the center of which is our beloved music, and so much more. Welcome, everybody. Phil here. Hope you've enjoyed the podcasts of late, veering off into some different topics. But thank you so much for your emails. I've been very encouraged. No one seems to put off or offended that I was talking about everything from the economy to, Wall Street, etc. Morality last week. But hey, after all, it was Bob Dylan talking about morality, the Roman code of wisdom, justice, moderation, and courage. Some good feedback on that. Yeah, man. Maybe, like we said last week, Bob Dylan thinks that morality's gotten a bad rap in this world. Maybe that's what's going on. Who knows, man? Who knows? But I take whatever Dylan thinks rather seriously. Man, we had a fantastic weekend here a little while back. My great friend, and I hope it's okay if I mention his name, Phil Van Beck, who I went to college with, turned 40 years old, the old man. So what does he do? He invites the full band. Well, actually, he didn't. It was a surprise party for him. Get this. His beautiful wife, Carly, emails me, says, Phil, it would thrill my husband to have you and the band come play. Set up in the backyard. He's going to come home from work. It's going to be his birthday. It was his birthday. Some friends are taking him out to dinner and stuff. Then he's coming back by the house. We're going to have a bunch of people here, the band and all that. And, man, it was just fantastic. How exciting to be part of a surprise party. Oh, man. We had a ball. He came walking, and he had no idea. just comes wandering in the backyard. He sees the big group of people. He's like, oh my gosh, so surprised. And let me tell you what, when he turned his head and saw the full band, we were set up. I mean, the amps were on, the mic, everything. We were just ready to rip into whatever. He just started screaming and jumping down, up and down, like a child on Christmas morning. Oh, it just set my heart soaring. And you know what? On the way home from that show, so thanks, Phil and Carly, for hosting us, for having us out, for all the great people who came there to the show. I want to make something very, very clear, because after this show, I wanted to talk to you about this week. You know how many shows I go to? How many shows that Phil Pritchett gets up out of his chair and says, man, I'm driving to downtown Dallas. I'm going to pay $10 to park. I'm going to pay $15 to get in the building. I'm going to go into this hot club and stand there. I'm going to have one beer because I got to drive back. And I'm going to watch this band for an hour. And then I'm going to drive home. My wife and I, we're going to get a sitter for the kids. And you know how often I do that? I'm going to tell you right now. Never. Never. Why would I? Why would I even do it? I'm always fascinated and just humbled and grateful every time you guys show up to my shows, because I'm thinking, gosh, they had to go through so much to get here. Now, some of you young guys out there, you know, guys and gals that are 20 years old, just living the dream. You know, God bless you all for coming. But I don't feel that sorry for you. I'm talking to the older folks out there. You know, 35, you know, that age, 35 and up. Because, man, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Here's my solution for it, okay? Because I get emails from guys. Hey, man, Phil, I live in Wichita Falls. Hey, Phil, I live out here in, you never come to Odessa anymore. We'd love to reach you. I want nothing more, me and the full band, than to come out and play shows for you guys. But you know what I got to do that? I got to find some bar, some dingy roadhouse. I got to work some deal with some guy who doesn't really know who we are, convince him some of you are going to come out. Then we're going to drive all the way out there. We're going to play, and God love you all. Some of you are going to show up, dragging your spouse, dragging some friends along. Hopefully we can convert through a passionate performance that you're like, see, Phil really is great. But the bottom line is, the first time out there, there's going to be just a handful of people there, and then it's going to be tough to come back. That's the way it is. You know it. I know it. That's how it goes. Here's the solution I'm going to tell you right now. If you call me, 817-733-5256, or email me, phil@philpritchett.com, as Carly did, and just said, look, just come to my house. Man, a lot of you guys out there, 30 years old, 40, 50s, you got a house, you got a backyard. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, man, Phil's going to want a fortune, man. He doesn't show up unless he gets two rooms at the Four Seasons, a 40 by 40 stage, lights, and PA. Oh, it's just impossible. It's just so expensive. Dude, you're wrong. You should see at Phil's house. They have a beautiful home. The full band and I occupied about, you know, 5 square feet of space. We didn't mic everything, you know. We didn't want to piss all the neighbors off. So it was wonderful, man. And this, I guess what people don't realize is, this is what I want to do. You see, if I go to Wichita Falls and I play the dingy club and a couple people show up, that doesn't accomplish anything. Hopefully it thrills you guys who show up. But what would thrill everyone is for that one guy in Wichita Falls, that one guy in Kansas City, that one guy in St. Louis, that one guy in Baton Rouge who says, hey, I got a house, I got some cool understanding neighbors, I got some friends. Get your guys together. Say, hey, man, let's all come up with a couple $100 or so. We'll pool our money, and dude, the full band's just going to roll up here Friday night. We're getting a couple kegs. We're paying Phil. It's just going to be a blowout. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. And, you know, we can play at, you know, 5 in the afternoon to 7, or we can play at night, or whatever. Inside, outside, if it rains, we'll go inside the living room. We'll play in the freaking living room acoustic set or something. Man, that is how we need to move forward on this thing. Because I'm telling you what, man, I'm like you. I'm like all of you out there. I got work, I got kids, I got stuff going on, and I just feel terrible when I get an email from someone. Man, you never come down here anymore. Well, we're dying to go see a show and all that, and you know. And man, it's just, I guess what I'm saying is, it's quite impossible in a lot of cases. So what I'm putting out there is, I send you a one page. You hear me out there? Listen very carefully. A one-page contract. Most bands are going to send you 30 pages. Well, we need this many inputs and this kind of sound company. And we only eat this kind of food, and we're all vegetarians. Whatever. No. Phil sends you one page, a PDF file. The date, the time, how much you pay us, and that's it. And, you know, we bring all our CDs and shirts if people want to buy that stuff. Anyway, those are the best shows going right now for Phil Pritchett and the Full Band. The best show that you're not seeing is the one in your backyard or in your neighbor's backyard or out on your ranch where you know what happened in the middle of this show? Phil, my friend, the party guy, he is a party guy, the guest of honor at the party. We take a short break. Dude, he's got the beers going. It's great. I mean, you know, he didn't have to drive anywhere. It's just fantastic. He goes, man, I'm going upstairs. I got a Strat up there. Is there any way I could plug in? I go, dude, do it. Let's go. Van Beck goes up there, grabs his guitar, comes back down, just plugs in, brings his amp down there, throws it right up there. Dude, we just play the whole second set. Now the crowd's really gathered around. They want to see their partying guest of honor is jamming with the Full Band. Now we do, I think he did Luke Skywalker with us. He did Maria. Very competently. Thanks, Phil. It's confusing. His name's Phil. I'm Phil. Don't be confused. But anyway, that was the whole scene there. Up in Allen, Texas, man, out in the suburbs there. Beautiful home, beautiful family. So just keep that in mind. If you find yourself saying, man, I listen to the podcast, and but man, Phil hadn't been to my town in a long time. I hear you, dude. I get your emails. I get your calls. I hear you. But man, I don't want to go to the vomit hole in your hometown and try and get people out. It doesn't work. And be real honest with yourself. You're a hardworking person. You got a job. You got a family. You don't want to go there either. Oh, maybe once in a blue moon, okay. So here's what you do. I'm telling you. Call me. Email me. This kind of show I played at the Van Beck household in Allen, Texas the other night, that is, if I have any wish in the world, that would be my future. My future would be that. The Full Band. So many bands make money, you know, playing private parties and things. They hide it. They hide it. Stuart Wiley, my great drummer, the great Stu, said this in the van after that show. He said, you know, most bands don't like to advertise that they play private shows. Man, we don't put that on the schedule or whatever. He said, man, we're not ashamed of it. We embrace it. We embrace it. And I can't, man, truer words are never spoken. So if you're thinking, man, hey, we always have our crawfish boil every year, or hey, we're spending money anyway, you know, renting out some place or all that, before you take another step, just say, hey, let's see if Phil can do it. Let's see what his schedule looks like, see what it would take. Let's make it happen, and we will make it happen. Phil@philpritchett.com, or just call me, 817-733-5256. Just wanted to share that thought with you. It was kind of a watershed moment. Of course, we always love playing private parties, but man, you know, the more we play and the busier we all get, I'm just kind of like, man, what kinds of shows do we really want to play moving forward? Give me someone's backyard any day of the week. So take that into consideration and give me a call, man. Well, 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 what else you been doing, Phil? You know what I've been doing? Getting ready for the high school reunion. Oh, this has been going on for a year, man. They're trying to get my old band, the Suburbans, back together. Me, Mark Baker, and Wes Cunningham. So we've vowed to rehearse some of the old songs. We made tons of recordings back in high school, walking around the halls with the shoebox, as I talked about doing with Blake Walker last week. A little P2 history lesson for you guys. Where I've been, maybe some perspective on where we may be going. So yeah, man, the Suburbans back together rehearsing. We're going to try to do a few songs at the reunion, you know, hop up and do a few tunes. And so who's going to be joining us here in our second segment is my good friend Wes Cunningham, the Suburban himself from Waco, Texas. Wes is going to be up here rehearsing with the Suburbans, going over the old songs. Going to be a lot of fun. A little while back, I get a call from Cunningham. They're making a movie starring him. I'm thinking, okay. We used to make movies in high school, you know, a little video camera, you know, scurrying around the house. Man, Cunningham is somehow, he's got this friend in Hollywood, a director. There's a script. They've written it all. Next thing I know, dude, they're rolling in the 18-wheelers in Waco, Texas. They filmed for 4 weeks in Waco. They filmed for a week in Los Angeles. He says, man, Liv Tyler might be in the film. There's all these big names being thrown around. I'm like, dude, what kind of movie is this? He's like, man, I'm telling you, it's a real movie. It's a real budget, man. We've shut down Waco. I've got my own trailer. Indeed, Cunningham had to try out, I believe, to play the part of himself. He's not really playing himself, I don't think, but a musician who's, you know, adjusting to, he's been in a band and doing the label game his whole life, and now he's adjusting to, life in a small town with his wife. The movie's called Saronia, and who is out there scurrying around in the hallways, rapping at my door, but Wes Cunningham himself. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to drag Cunningham in here to talk about his new film, the status of it. I know it's going to be entered into some independent films, Sundance and that kind of thing, South by Southwest, and the whole game of getting distribution has begun. But I know he's seen a rough cut of it. I haven't really got his take on it, how he feels seeing himself in a movie. But Wes is a very talented musician and a very good actor. He was always the lead in all of our plays in high school and just a funny guy. So Wes Cunningham, you know him. He's the podcast's own Wes Cunningham. Will be joining us here in our second segment. And if I'm not mistaken, stay tuned for the vault section. You'd heard what led off the show here. You heard what led off the show. I hear all your... I'm already getting emails. Gary Floater, man. The full band covering Dirty South. You've been hearing it at the shows forever. We went back here at Trinidad. Me, Stu, and Blue, we recorded Dirty South, man, in pure full band fashion to try and render it in the way it should be rendered. We have done that. We have accomplished it. We recorded Psycho Killer, Talking Heads, all that means is Blueprint Garage Volume 3, folks. Blueprint Garage Volume 3 is going to be hitting the website, available for download, iTunes, everywhere, here in a couple weeks. So in the vault today, I'm giving you a little heads up, we're going to look at some Blueprint Garage, man, I think, and see how that sounds. So stay tuned for that. Wes Cunningham, my good friend, coming up here next.
Takes her top off when we go to the lake. Yeah, she's soft and sexy, but she's mean as a snake. If I catch you looking at her, I'll punch you straight in the mouth. Yeah, that's how we do it in the Dirty South.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you in beautiful stereo, high definition, or something, from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, where creativity is king, where we enlighten your musical life every week on the show, the P2 Podcast. Where else are you going to turn for what's going on? The news from the front. Well, my friends, thanks for joining us here. Another wonderful week. Contain yourself. Contain yourself. The laughter you hear is my old friend. You know him. The podcast's very own Wes Cunningham is here today. Welcome, Cunningham. You know Cunningham from his last visit when he was up here. My good friend from middle school, since we played a seventh grade football. We just met each other. Found each other, man. We were both just big Beatles fans, and man, started our musical journey together in middle school, all through high school. Last week we had my friend Blake Walker on a couple weeks ago, wanting to know more about my high school bands and stuff. He runs across stuff on the internet or people talk about things. So who better to just sort of bring it back all into perspective than Cunningham himself, my partner in crime there for all those years. How you doing, Cunningham?
I'm so nervous, you know.
So nervous, you know. Just remember, you've already had 5 kids.
No, that's you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's me.
Oh, man.
Well, since we have talked, Cunningham writing songs, doing his thing, oh, man, traveling the world, etc., finally winds up in Waco by his own admission, just sort of bouncing around. Then the next thing I know, when was this, a year ago? He goes, hey, Phil, they're coming to Waco.
Right.
This director, and they're making a movie about my life. Don't let me give you my two cents on this whole deal. Let me give you Phil's perspective, then you can fill in the blanks.
Well, you don't have it.
I don't have it all in front of me.
I want to hear your...
This is my take.
Yeah.
It was like, how's Wes doing? I'm like, man, I don't know. His record deal kind of fizzled out. He's in Waco. He's trying to figure it out. His wife's having kids. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He's painting houses. Then he calls me and says, hey, I know this director guy, and they're making this story about my life. Uh-huh. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like he's going to come over there with the little handheld, but you put the big old tape in it, like the VHS camcorder like we had in high school? It's like, no. I mean, a real movie. It's a movie.
We did make some great movies in high school. But
we did, man.
That's another segment. Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, they're shooting this movie. Well, man, we had a child due around then, our little baby on the way. So the filming is going to take place over 4 weeks in Waco, 1 week in L.A. I'm like, wait a minute, man, what kind of movie is this? He goes, Phil, I told you, we're making a movie about my life. I'm like, I know, but I pictured like one guy with a camera, with his video camera. Wes goes, no, man, we got like 10, 18-wheelers from L.A. are out here, man. We've shut down downtown Waco, and we're filming down here. I got a trailer. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? The crew's here? I'm like, the crew? How many guys are the crew? He's like, I don't know, not many, like 75. I'm just going, 75? It's like, yeah, dude, I'm telling you, it's a real movie. I'm like, about your life? Sure enough, the movie is called Saronia.
Yes.
Yet to be released.
That's accurate. That part there is
Saronia,
accurate.
Saronia. Uh-huh. People will know Robin Lively.
Uh-huh.
Tony Hale.
From Arrested Development.
Arrested Development, Tony Hale.
My sisters, when my sisters met him, the first thing out of my sister's mouth was, hello, brother. And he was great sport, he said.
Yeah.
Hell, actually, Kate, my sister, would you mind giving us an oh, brother? And I go, oh, brother.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Tony Hale. Who else was in it? So who was, okay, let's back up. How did this start? Because you're sitting there painting houses, wondering what your next move is. Next thing, let's turn on the cameras and film.
Yeah.
Shut down Waco. We're filming the life of Wes Cunningham,
right.
Phil. Where are you?
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Well, first of all, it's not the life of Wes Cunningham. So I want to dispel that right out the shoot.
Okay. Okay. It's just about this very talented guy who loves his family.
That's right.
Wants to play music.
Oh, no, the guy.
No.
Well, it's funny. The guy's an a-hole. The guy in the movie is not a
right.
stellar individual. That's why I try to distance myself.
There you go.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the nutshell.
What happened?
Okay, here's what happened.
You're sitting around one day.
Yeah.
Not knowing what your next move is.
Okay. You know what? It's one of those things that just didn't plan on doing it.
Did happened. You write the script?
Or? Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, Phil.
God, I'm so confused over here.
Good grief.
Sorry, Cunningham.
No. The last couple of years, I've been writing a bunch of music, which is, I took some time off and was, like you said, I was doing construction and all that and didn't feel like it. And then the last couple of years, I've been writing a lot and really inspired and loving what I'm doing. And,
right.
Two friends of mine. One guy is a writer who teaches at Baylor University there and
Waco, Texas.
And Paris on the Brazos there.
Yes.
And then the other guy is a director, a video primarily director named Brandon Dickerson who does a lot of high-end Disney videos. He did Jonas
Dickerson
Brothers.
Dickerson lived in L.A.?
Was Dickerson lives in L.A. Yeah. Lived. Thank
lived,
you,
yes.
In L.A. Somehow, Dickerson, through some family stuff, wound up in Waco. So it's us three in Waco. We all go have coffee. And we just had this harebrained idea. Why not try to make a movie around some of my music? So we took 40 of my songs and we 20. I remember I gave him each, you know, CDs, 20 songs of conflict and 20 of resolution. And we just said,
that sounds like a Johnny Cash box set or
doesn't
something.
Doesn't it?
You know?
Well, I do write a lot, but not all of it's good.
Right.
So.
Oh, come on.
Very. Well, but so.
They all got a shaker and some harmonies.
Well,
on.
Yeah, hand claps, and yeah. There's some common denominators throughout. but, you know, it's just a very fun process. So we had.
Send them out with the music.
And so we all just sort of started brainstorming. And yeah, there was a lot of things, because I tend to write autobiographically, the story very much. Looks like my life in some ways. And so, but we wrote this fictional character who had an auspicious career in Los Angeles, only to lose his record deal.
Right.
And at the same time, he finds out that he's pregnant. He's not pregnant. His loving wife is. And so they decide to say, forget it. This is not the life we
want.
Let's
just go. We
don't want to raise kids in L.A. and be starving. Let's go back to Texas, where she is from in the movie. So they go back to the small town known as Saronia in the film.
Right.
And it's automatic just culture shock. You know, there's mutton busting, which is where kids get on sheeps and do
rodeos. Affordable food everywhere.
Everything is different. And this guy, you know, thinks it's going to be all better. And so he starts trying to go legit, you know, in his mind. But so that's the kind of the premise of the movie. And you'll see where it goes. But you know, there are lots of similarities in my experience and in the characters. But what was really the process just kind of started taking on this whole life. I mean, we finished a rough kind of version of a screenplay.
Yeah, you started sending me. It happened so fast. Like, I had this meeting with this guy, the music, and hey, here's a couple of rough scripts. And it was like full movie script. I was like, man, this is like a real thing. Like, well, we're getting the funding next week. Got the funding. We're shooting. It was just kind of like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, there's one little weird miracle after another. Like, mm-hmm. just very strange. I mean, like the fact that we were able to get a lot of money for funding.
Now, you had to try out to play yourself.
Yeah, I did. No, it's fine. I mean, the whole process.
Sitting around, who could play this the main character? You're just like, what are you, crazy? Me? You think so, Wes? Just what? I mean, how did that happen? You had to convince them that maybe you should be in it.
Yeah, I did. Well, we always one of those. Let me say this. It was I've never had this experience. Well, maybe with the Suburbans back in the day, but I never had a collaborative experience that was a positive one creatively. I mean, inevitably. Somebody's taking the lead and someone disagrees and there's just, it doesn't work. It just, you know, it's the whole Ayn Rand thing. It just does. And somehow this worked. We wrote this thing and we all brainstormed and everybody brought something different to the table. So when we were creating it, I think the least, really, it was out of my mind whether or not I was going to, we hadn't even thought that far. We were trying to tell an interesting story. And ultimately, when it started, when we got, oh, all of a sudden we've got funding. And all of a sudden, you know, we're doing all my music throughout the movie as if it's almost a musical, really. And so then, well, God, who's going to play this guy? They were starting to throw around some names.
There's some pretty big names being thrown around, a little bit.
Well, anybody can throw around names.
Right. I got Matt Damon's number.
There's Colin Farrell. He'd be great. The more we sort of broke it down, we're just like, I did. I went to Austin and I took some acting classes and I auditioned, memorized, you know, whatever. I auditioned for
just
the
like
part.
Just like the old high school play, learn your lines and, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was a little awkward at first, but there, this is another whole segment, but I really liked it, and the more I did it, the more I recognized the similarities in the process of writing music and of performing music. You know, there's just so many. It was so many ways that it was a natural thing. You know what I'm talking about. And so it turned out to be a pretty fun experience. Although I didn't get to see my family for about 2 months. But
right.
Other than that, man, it was really
surprise you pay, man. Surprise you pay.
That's right.
That's what they say anyway.
Yeah.
Now, who ended up playing? Who else is in the movie? Who plays your wife in the movie?
A lady named Amy Acker.
Yes.
Who she's on. Oh man, can you rewind it and put me in?
Come on.
She's
Mad Men, or is that somebody else?
No, there's an actor from Mad Men in it, and he plays my best mate, and sort of my friend in Los Angeles Amy Acker's in Cupid and a bunch of popular TV shows that I can't.
Yeah, okay.
I wish I could tell you right now.
Well, all right.
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
She's great.
We're here to talk about you, Wes.
Yeah, I don't know who she is.
So you make the movie. My question to you is always like, you know, how do you know it's when you're doing a scene, everybody's how do you know it's working? Or do you know? Do you do the, you act, you yell, you scream, you cry, and you look over and the director says cut, and you're just like, he just nods. Like, that's good. Just really, what'd it look like? Yeah. I mean, what, is it weird? Because you're not really at the controls. So I've always been a big control guy. I kind of like to know that, hey, I'll go back and fix that, or hey, I'm messing. You know,
absolutely.
You're kind of out in front of the camera, like, can I see? You know, I mean.
Right. It's the only, it's a trick. That's the main thing I learned from that acting little class. It's called the Meisner, whatever.
Method or something.
Yeah. I feel goofy talking like that. Like, Drew Barrymore on Leno.
You're a
something.
Method actor. Yeah. In this role, Larry, I channeled the Meisner method.
Well, the idea is, you know, if you're conscious that you're acting, if you're conscious of your emotion, then you're not doing it right. So the trick is, it sounds like mind games.
You're losing me. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you just, yeah. No. Yes. I can tell a difference. I can tell when I'm acting and when I'm emoting and when I'm really trying to, you know.
Right.
And then I can also tell when we're having a conversation and when it's genuine. And you have the lines so well memorized that it's not a conscious effort for you to pull them up. Mm-hmm. And you're listening, it's a natural conversation, and boy, do I feel self-important right now.
The method.
Ah, yeah, it's just, anybody could do it. It's acting, Phil.
Let our fans, listeners out there know, Cunningham was always the... I would always memorize my lines in a song and a tryout for the senior play. Mm-hmm. And then also the door would open up like 30 minutes late. Cunningham would come in barefoot with no song. What? He just kind of hop on the stage, whistle a Beatles song, and he got the lead. He's a natural actor. Well, no. And me and Jake Porter would be off to the chorus for you guys. You know. Maybe he got one song. But Cunningham, he was just a natural actor, so it's really no... I wouldn't think it's that big of a stretch for you to play something in a movie, let alone yourself, for God's sake.
Right.
Now, you got to go see a pre-cut. You called me, you're going to Austin to see a pre-screening or something like that.
Yeah. Gosh, man, this whole...
Did they already have the editing and all that? Like the THX thing at the beginning where the thing flies around?
No. Well, what's interesting is that, they don't have this, you know, the audio is crap and the, you know, they haven't colorized the film.
Right.
So it's a bit, you know, it's he shot it on film, which is sort of a
take one
old school medium, you know.
I couldn't believe y'all shot it on film. That's a lot more remarkable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a
topic for another time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what was it like seeing you up there yourself on the big screen? Was it in a big screen or you watching it on a,
is a screening room. So yeah, I mean, it was like a living room wall size screen.
Were you cringing? How does it?
Jeez, man. It was lots of things. It was humbling because you realize when you see yourself saying lines that you imagine how you looked when you said them. You imagine how you're feeling when you're saying this. And then you see yourself and you think, God, that's it. You know, the truth is after the initial like cringe, you know, I'm sitting next to my wife, which, you know, and we're watching myself and my fake wife on the screen, which is in itself a whole weird thing. And, you know, and then she knows all my BS. So she, you know, she's calling it, you know, I can't fool her with my acting. So, you know, honestly, I genuinely felt after a while that I was watching a movie. I forgot it was me.
Right.
And it was watching. And that was kind of a neat thing because I think it means the movie's going to be okay. And it has a lot to do with the other actors that are pros that, you know, make it look legit, you know.
Right. What's the next phase for the movie? It's still in editing and they're entering into, you know, Sundance, all kinds of independent film festivals things. Seeking distribution, seeking some kind of, I guess, is that the next step or something like that?
Yeah, right.
Independent film, you try to get the distribution.
Right. Just this week, they're finishing touches on the edit. They've shown it a million different test screenings in LA and over different places. And apparently you take notes and you re-edit. And so anyway, they're done with that. That's called a picture lock.
Uh-huh.
And then, funny enough, they start submitting the submission process, as a work in progress, which apparently is, I didn't realize, but that's what they do a lot of times.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll start submitting it to Sundance as early as this week, and you know, it's very, very, very competitive, and you know, the odds are astronomical that you even get in Sundance, apparently. Thousands of movies are submitted, and they
only... Is that right?
Yeah, thousands.
Jeez.
They only take 200.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's politics. I don't even know all that stuff. But what happens next is, yeah, we'll do that, or we'll do South by Southwest, or we'll do all of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, but meantime, I'm getting to work on the score, which is what I'm really excited about. I'm going to sit down later this month. I'm going to L.A. To get to start working on the score.
The score, the ever-important, the all-important score of the film.
Yeah.
Well, Saronia is the film starring my old friend, Wes Cunningham. Not as himself, but in some ways.
Let me just say that it's very likely that the movie goes straight to DVD and you can only get it in South Korea. So,
well,
you may have to
rest
look
assured,
really hard.
Rest assured, we will direct fans and listeners of this show to it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in, Cunningham. Cunningham is going to be here next week. We're going to talk more about the film and this amazing thing. We got the high school reunion coming up. So next week, Cunningham and I are going to discuss, we're having a reunion of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Cunningham, our long-lost drummer, Mark Baker, is going to come in, and we're going to have band practice like we used to have in the, whatever that was, the 80s.
Oh,
late
gosh.
80s.
Can't wait.
And play our old songs, because we've got to play a couple songs at the reunion.
You're going to play
big
some on
stuff.
This podcast, right? Some of those.
We might. We just might.
Early teenage angst.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, here, so join us next week, won't you? As for more on that. Well, in our next segment, I, Phil, your host, how you doing? Will blindfold myself, stagger over to the vault, put my hands on the first record I grab. I'm just going to pull it up, and I'm going to play it for you and let you know why you need to have it or why you don't need to have it. In the vault next.
Colorado's cooler in the summer, and I still have friends in Santa Fe. And I hear that New Orleans is nice this time of year. It doesn't matter, there's no more room down here. The borders are closing in. This place got smaller when we filled it up with our memories. My leaving's the only way I have a chance to escape. 'Cause Texas ain't as big as it used to be.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Enlightening your musical life. Thanks to Wes Cunningham for coming by talking about his film, Saronia. Coming to theater soon, we hope. I can't wait to see it. How often do you get to see one of your best friends on the silver screen? Not very often. Well, of course, the vault today, man. Where else to turn? Blueprint Garage Volume 3. P2 and the full band, man. We've been out here working. I've accumulated all kinds of bits and pieces here in the Blueprint Garage. Little demos. Oh, man, I'm always sending out stuff. The version we just opened up there with Texas Ain't As Big As It Used To Be. Never formally recorded by the full band. But that was a acoustic version from a few years back. Sending it to some people. So it'll be on there. I have people. We did an MP3 of it years ago in Nashville. I wrote that with my good friend Jim Beavers in Nashville. Jim, he wrote Watching Airplanes. He had a big hit, number one hit with Gary Allen, and has written a lot of Dierks Bentley cuts, and a very successful songwriter. Although we wrote this one way back before his success. I knew him when, what can I say? Texas Ain't As Big As It Used To Be. Acoustic version there. Me doing a couple different parts. I think just two vocal parts and two guitar parts.
Very nice, very simple, really. Well, I love these Blueprint Garage things, man. I fear that I blew some people's minds with Blueprint Garage Volume 2, because it got out there, man. There were some of my old cassette demos, man, like just songs never released, like House, Place I Once Called Home and things. It's funny that I get a lot of response from it. And, man, we sell a lot of them. It's weird, and they almost get more downloads, man, than, like, our real albums. Interesting. What are you doing out there, fans? Hey, I'm just following your lead. I'm sticking with the Blueprint Garage deal. So in this Volume 3, we got a couple new recordings, a couple of new things that we did, and some acoustic demos, some live stuff, including, oh, man, this version of Girl of All Seasons. I think I've played it as lead-in music on the podcast before. This was from the Rowdy Float Trip. Forgive me, I can't remember what year it was, but we did it. We've done it 2 or 3 years. I think it was the first year we did it a while back. You know, I love playing that song, man. Girl of All Seasons off the Bullfighter Returns. It rocks, man. So it's so rocking live, which I really like. It was kind of written sort of as a folky rock kind of thing originally, taking on a new life of its own, as they all do. So this is a Girl of All Seasons rocking. This is kind of a board tape, man, so it's kind of got a bit of a more compressed, smaller, snappier type sound. But came out good, man. Check it out. Girl of All Seasons live.
I lost my mind again, out where the river swells with rain. She kindly took me in, made me feel I was not the one to blame. As change was blowing in the trees, the earth glowed, shaking at my knees. Her voice places me at ease, and I'm home again. Girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons, my girl of all seasons. Cold, I was lost from everything, but she kindly took my hand and said, follow the weeks, they'll always lead you to spring. And though I'll always lose my way, stuck in some lonesome winter day, her light takes me to me, and I'm home again. Girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons, girl of all seasons. Hey, girl! Seasons, girl of all 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 seasons.
Phil Pritchard and the PT Podcast, rocking along with you. We're walking you through an exclusive look at Phil Pritchard and the full band, Blueprint Garage Volume 3, coming out soon. Available where else? P2Tunes.com. Also on iTunes and stuff. But you, the fans, will have it first and foremost before anyone else in the world can get it. So pat yourself on the back. Congratulations. Man, I love the Kinks. What I love to do in the studio is I get just the rarest of songs, the most obscure of songs, try to put my own little taste on it. Man, this song came up on the old iPod shuffle a few years ago. Obscure Kinks song. It's on a soundtrack from a movie called Percy, which I know nothing about. It's evidently a weird film they did the music for, very forgotten. But man, this song was on there. The Way Love Used to Be. It's a beautiful song. So I sang it and did a little piano thing and strings thing on it. And I love it, man. I play it in the house a lot. Kids like it. Check it out. Phil doing the Kinks, obscure stuff, The Way Love Used to Be.
Not far from here, it's not far away, but if you come, I know a place where we'll be alone, and we'll talk of life in the way love used to be. I know a place not far away, and we'll find a way through the city streets. We'll find a way through the mad rushing crowd, and we'll talk about the way love used to be. Not far from here, it's not far away, but if you come, I know a place where we'll be alone, and we'll talk about the way love used to be.
Stu and Blue, the full band, came over recently to record a couple songs for this compilation we're doing, Blueprint Garage Volume 3, as we are wont to do. And I like doing covers, you know, occasionally. I don't like recording them very much unless I'm doing like my own version of something and I'm trying out some new gear. I'll do a long cover, kind of like I did with Idiot Wind on Blueprint Garage Volume 2. I'm not going to be able to get to it in this segment today, but Blueprint Volume 3 has a long version of Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Dude, it came out pretty good, too. Very good. This has become a staple for us live. I don't know why. In the Texas music roots rock realm, this has become an anthem. Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads. I didn't have a good live version of it. I mean, I've got a couple of scratchy board tapes of it. Not too great. So we were in here in the studio the other day all mic'd up. I said, man, let's burn through Psycho Killer one time. So we did it with great enthusiasm, great verve. Here it is, man. Psycho Killer as interpreted by Phil Pritchard and the full band on the V2 podcast. We'll be right back.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, kiss kiss it. Pa 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 pa. Run, 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 run away. Oh, psycho killer, kiss kiss it. Pa 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 pa. A lot, but you're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, ha! Why say it again? Psycho killer, kiss kiss it. Ba 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 ba. Run 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 run. Ba 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 ba. Run 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 away. Ooh, hey. Yeah 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 yeah. I can't see it. This one love. I do stay. This one. Je ne sais quoi, un dolce caffè sa mole.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Thank you all for joining us this week. Man, what a great show we've had. Talking about private parties, call me. It's what I want to do. Save me from having to come to your town and play in some vomit hole for four people, you and your beloved friends. I know you'll be there, but that's not the point. Bring me to your house. Bring the full band there. Let's work something out and get a keg, and it'll be much better, I promise you. That is the future of Phil Pritchett and the full band. Make it happen, fans. Phil at philpritchett.com. Say, yeah, dude, I live out here on a ranch. I got a house out here. What are we talking about? We'll make it happen. Whatever. Well, 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 I hope you're enjoying the sneak peek here at Blueprint Garage Volume 3. Oh, I know we've played it already, but only in segments. You've only heard little bits of it. Gary Floater's Dirty South, as brought to me, as turned on to me by Adam Carroll, and Owen Temple did a great tribute record, did a great version of this song that we started playing. We have morphed it into, I don't know, something in its own right, as the full band is known to do. always, with anything they touch, turn it into something that is totally their own. That is what we aspire to, anyway. So I've got to leave you here with the first time. I want everybody, all of our affiliates out there, all the radio stations, all of y'all listening online at RadioFreeTexas.org and at PhilPritchard.com, to turn it up, man. For the first time ever, here it is. We're going to play it in its entirety on the way out. Dirty South, our version of the Gary Floater classic. Turn it up. Thanks for joining us this week on the P2 Podcast. Much tough.
Lightning while I'm still in the crib. The moon pie smeared all over my bib. Punched my first grade teacher right straight in the mouth. 'Cause that's how we do it in the dirty South. Tattoo here on my back. Yeah, my ears are still ringing from the NASCAR track. Yeah, I punched Jeff Gordon right straight in the mouth. Yeah, 'cause that's how we do it in the dirty South. Takes her top off when we go to the lake. Yeah, she's soft and sexy, but she's mean as a snake. If I catch you looking at her, I'll punch you straight in the mouth. Yeah, that's how we do it in the dirty South. Show was a hell of a time. Then you took her, winked at me as I was standing in a line. Then I punched Toby Keith right straight in the mouth. Yeah, that's how we do it in the dirty South.